new for the slide, with a similar by our very own network developers. But tell us stuff about descriptive new functions and what are they good for.
Thanks, David. That's an honor to be here. I'm just going to start with the speaker because I'm from here. I have this PowerPoint presentation. So I'd like to talk a bit about this topic, which is basically some relation between some more old-fashioned functional names, which is linear functions, and some more fun computational relations. And it's based on a script, which is on the archive, and some things are in the English instrument. It's not right. First of all, I'll talk briefly about the continuous linear function, because actually my work is not about continuous linear functions. My work is about discrete linear functions, which are an analog of continuous linear functions that are used to describe Hilbert space. So I insist to the time dimensional Hilbert space. Then I'll describe this proposal by Wooters and collaborators, which goes back like almost 20 years now, actually. And study what can you do with states which have negative linear functions. And we see that there is a sense in which states with negative linear functions have to be viewed as non-classical. So I'll give a better, more computational, mostly explanation of what the states with negative linear functions are, how they are involved. Then I'll finish with some open problems. So the whole idea of linear functions is to have a look at our quantum system in a classical framework. So you look at the phase space, and you can describe a dynamic system in phase space, where you can be just the position and momentum of the path. So you can have a quantum space case with many more dimensions for a more complicated system than a single path. Then you can describe ensemble paths in the evolution of this ensemble as its probability distribution in phase space. Then of course you want to find the properties of this ensemble, just do integrals over whatever function you're trying to find of these characteristics over this space. So the idea that Wiener came up with in 1932 was to try to formulate quantum mechanics in an integer space. But then we immediately have a problem, because of course given the Hilbert and the classical space, it's two properties which exist at the same time in a classical path, right? You can say that a classical path has its properties. But you can't say that of a quantum system, because we don't believe it. So, nevertheless, it turns out that you can define a function which works a lot like a probability distribution, but it's not exactly a probability distribution. And the fact that it isn't appears in these negative values that you can assume sometimes here. So this is a linear function for a non-classical harmonic state So some people call this classical probability distribution because of these negative values. Some people are concerned about this and try to give an interpretation of that in terms of negative probabilities. So there's even a lesson by Feynman talking about negative probabilities. So
question? So with probability distributions, there are these conditions, you know, that all the probabilities sum to one and so on. With things, quasi-probability distributions, are there sort of sets?
Yes. Sets? So I'll give some properties of them. Why they are like probability distributions. So this is one of the main properties, right? This is the function, when you integrate over one of the variables, it gives the right margin for the other variable. And same thing when integrating P, you get the probability distribution for both multiparameter experiments when you're measuring Q. And the amazing thing is that this works for other observables as well, not for just those three. You can define these parameters, as they call it, which are basically combinations of Q and P, which corresponds to rotate the phase axis. And the linear function has the right margins also for all those observables. And these functions are actually motivated by experimental work. Because if you're detecting, for example, a harmonic oscillator scrapping Fulton mode in quantum optics. And by doing a holodeck detection, controlling the phase that you're measuring, you're actually implementing a measurement of these different particles from different angles. And the Wigner function is a function, can be, you can get the outcomes that you get for all the quadratures, for all angles, and you can invert this function. It's called the inverse Ramboll transform, and you'll obtain a Wigner function. The Wigner function has all the information that all the quadratures have, which is all the information that the density animations have.
So it's probably a dumb question, but if you just took all the values of the Wigner function and just took the square and integrated all the values, it would be 1.
Sorry, if you took the square and it's just 1 to avoid negativity.
Well, I'm just, if you're talking about probability amplitudes, then the condition is that the sum of the squares is 1, the sum of the absolute value squared is 1, so that is a similar property.
Yes, well, it also integrates to identity or 1 of the dimension.
Not the square,
but it's just
not the function itself. It is a probability function, and that's it's not the square.
Yeah, so yeah, when you integrate something, it's observable, it's integrating this function. It's not a kind of an amplitude. So even though it can have negative values, so for instance, stress, even though it does have negative values, when integrated for a strip, you always obtain a positive number, which has to be a probability. Right? So if you integrate the Wigner function over the strip, it might have a region with negative values here, but it's guaranteed by the domain of the function defined. But when integrated over the strip, you get a positive number. And this positive number is exactly the probability of measuring this observable and obtaining them from C and C prime, which are the boundaries of this field. So this correct match for property works not just for P and Q, but for all quadratures, and also not just for inputs, but also for inputs and strips.
This is important to use for me to say, I think it's considered to the panel.
Yeah,
it seems like marginals. We have to crew function of this field of the marginals. If you do have marginals, I can make a piece of this.
Yeah, so it's either the marginals. So we have the fast probability distributions, which relates, I mean, each fast probability distribution may be useful for obtaining products of the system through classical integrals for different operators. So the linear function gives properties not just for integrals of the function itself, but integrals of the function times classical. Okay. So this helps obtain, you integrate this thing to obtain the expectation value of this operator, which is symmetric and QNP. So for different orderings of operators, you can define different class for this distribution that work for different orderings. That's one thing. Okay. But if you insist that you want to have this kind of property, and all correct margins, the Wigner function is the only function basically, which does that, which is linear and both. So it's kind of, it's very quite natural that you come to the Wigner function. But, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
but of course, there are other definitions of class probability distributions. So far it's all continuous variables. So I told you, just before, I told you that the Wigner function gives all the right margins. So we can see these margins as being, this is the integral over the Wigner function for a certain quadrature, right? That is, for a certain certain measurement that you can do, right, in a lab, for one of the lab. And then you can have these integrals of all the different quadratures. So I told you that the Wigner function has all the right margins. But the other way around is also true. So if you give all the margin, you can imagine this is what's promised as the model. Because basically you're probing the function, you're seeing the profile of the function in different directions. So it's like seeing the shadows of the distribution here. And these shadows are actually all you can ever see, because these are the observations that you can make on the system. Right? So from all the shadows, you do this inverse transformation and you obtain this continuing function. So this
the way to obtain a function through its margin like this, plus one, was already known in the beginning of the 19th century, in 1971. Radon transform and Newell's Radon transform. The funny thing that appears in front of us is that when you get all the margin, and the margins are all you can get, I mean, the dimension, in inverted function, there are some states which are not compatible with the inverted function which is the property. Because there are quantum states that you can compare in the lab, you may have all the random marginals, but they are somehow inconsistent with one another. In the sense of not being compatible with a single positive distribution, which has random marginals. So there's something funny, something strange appearing there. So this was the kind of observation that made me think about linear functions. Right?
You can have a wave, and then you measure all the marginals. And then you can't find a linear function.
No, you can't. Well, you measure all the margins, but when you reverse, it's not for a visual solution, it's a linear function for then to various styles. You can also reverse. But the thing is, when you reverse, sometimes you get something which doesn't make sense from a classical function. All sorts of things. So, practically, yeah. So, what I would like to understand better is exactly why it couldn't be. What was the assumption? Right. What is causing these negative values? So intuitively, it's some kind of incompatibility of all the negative values with something that you assume to be constructed, which is kind of a classical framework. This is, I mean, that quantum doesn't fit into the frame. Right. So this is the kind of question that I almost thought. So I went about looking at this question, trying to understand a bit about negative values being a function. Not in the continuous linear function, but for discrete analogs of the linear function. So these analogs have many of the same properties, like correct margins, if you like, and the topographic property of all the measurements that you can use to reconstitute the linear function, but in a discrete set. So, there have been many different discrete linear functions before. Starting with Feynman, and even before then, when some people were like Honey and Barry were applying, you know, something like a discrete linear function for some physics problem. But Feynman describes a linear function for a qubit. Wooten describes a linear function extending the work of for prime dimensions. And Galaxy is repeated, but it's essentially the same thing with the fact then. And then after that, there are many different descriptions, some of which are more elegant than others, some of which are kind of redundant in the specification that you take. So the kind of the definition of a discrete linear function, which I will be looking at, is this that was proposed by Lucas. And more recently, there's a long paper giving many, many properties to the discrete linear function, how to define that for any dimension, cubic space dimension, which is a power prime. So it consists of collections of cubics, for example, in uses. So what are the ingredients? How do you define this linear function? First, of course, you need something like a phase space. Right? The phase space in classical mechanics has a distinct predisposition, p and q. And it is not the same for qubits, because you imagine the top states with a qubit. So we'll see that that there will be a phase space, which is discrete, now it's just an array of points. And the basis, the vertical and horizontal basis, will have some similarity between the q and the p basis. It's being mutually biased. Compare the flag state of one and get the classification for that. So, when we have a phase space, which is a discrete phase space, I'm describing this, we have to talk about how to divide this phase space in parallel lines. Because now we have a discrete structure, so a line is not a geometric line anymore. So there is a way of finding parallel lines in the discrete phase space using finite geometry, using finite fields actually to label these elements in the discrete phase space. So all this is still classical, right? I'm describing structures which appear in this discrete phase space, the classical of discrete phase. And now of course I have to impose quantum structures onto this phase space. This is the continuous living function. For each collection of lines, I associated one observable, which is the metric, which was one of the quadratures, which was associated with this particular collection of parallel lines. Then you can break a different direction, parallel lines, and have a different observable, for example, cubic, or vertical lines, right? And equal, for example. So I'm going to have to take this discrete structure of phase space and associate quantum observables. And when I do this, then I'll find a new functional matching. So what is a line in discrete phase space? Phase space is just a set of d by d points for the dimensional field space. So this is the phase space for fields, four points. Okay? A line is a collection of two d points. So in a case of two distributed two points. That's it. Parallel lines are first lines which don't have any points of common. So isolation is a partition of the phase space into parallel lines. So since each line has d points, they can't have any points in common, there will be d parallel lines as well. That partition for the phase space. What Gibbons, Kaplan, and Lucas did was to label this phase space using finite field, which for prime dimensions is, for example, addition and multiplication modulo u, and define lines along this finite field using the equations which take values all the way to the field. Coefficients take values in time. So for prime dimensions, this results in a very in lines in a torus. You can see that this is a tiny torus, right? But if you saw a bigger dimension, you would see lines in the torus. But for thousand prime, like four, two qubits, there isn't a field. The field for four with four elements is not additional and multiplication model for it. So there are some definitions of linear functions which do use additional integration model for, but these resulting lines which have different numbers of points. So this is a necessity less elegant. Actually, you have to have a discrete phase space with twice the number of points on each side. So basically, you have lots of redundancy. Part of the phase space gives you all the information that you need to construct. If we use just a d by d array for a d-dimensional system, we have just the right, if you have a bigger function for all points, we have just the right number of real terms to describe any best matrix, which is d squared, right? Or d squared minus one, normalization. So you see, so this is this structure of parallel lines in base space. So this is a line, this is a line, this is a line, horizontal, vertical, and it's kind of diagonal line. And here, for example, these four points, green points, are lines with even though they didn't get scared. So we have few still talk about this in a year ago. So this is good this fits. I'm not going to go much into detail of this project in chemistry. That's not what I need. So there is a procedure for defining these lines for any file part. Now what's the quantum structure that are associated with those lines? It's mutually biased. I'll take many bases for the new space. For example, you can take this as a computational base if you like, the first. But then you take a different base, you can take many of them. But you want special sets of bases. You want bases which are mutually biased. So if you prepare one state, you measure the projector on the other state, you get one of the beam that is a flat switch. So this mutually biased space, there's been lots of literature about them. Because they're using tomography as active, because this notion of mutually biased results in agents which are maximally efficient in getting information. Because you see, if you get information about one of the mutually biased states, it doesn't tell you any information about it. And there are some facts which are known about these mutually biased states. Martin Reichenbach knows much more about that than anybody in different ways. So one thing that people know is that for thousand prime, you can find the dimensions of our prime can find d plus 1 mutually biased spaces. And we know also, of course, that these d plus 1 projectors of this mutually biased space have to be graphically. So the question, for example, when the dimension is 6, which is not a power prime, 2 times 3, basically people don't know. People conjecture that you cannot, don't have d plus 1 actually, you can find 6 or 5. By space. I guess the main number that you can do. But it hasn't been proven that you can't. There's no literature on the eigenbase x, y, and z numbers. You cannot find all cases for this solution. So that seems kind of natural way to start with the solution of
this is strictly important because the solution of this is so basic. I don't know if it's surgical. The one who still has contract.
Yeah, you could
catch it so fast.
Sure. You could. That's true. But then the when you define the different function, it would be highly asymmetrical. But in this test, all these reactions are going to have the same standard double division device.
Maybe that's price you have to pay.
That's possible.
So there's no K and L dependence. Phi is not J.
No. Yeah.
Any K in L.
So we can. So we can just say it's a basis. And if you take elements from two different bases, they always have a flat distribution, no information, one. So how do you define the function? I have the lights, I have the projections on function by space, how do you define it? You pick one association of any of these with striations. Because if you remember what I said about the number of any of these, you have g+1 of these. That's exactly the right number of striations that you can do using this. In those nice geometric parts that come to the time. So it's okay, it's first, in view, we're associated with this first situation, and some situation on this one. Then inside each AV, we have three projectors. Then you associate each of the projectors with one of the lines of that situation. So this is similar to the idea that appears in the discrete and the continuous given function. That's your association. Different practitioners, and you can line the phase case corresponds to projectors on several of that particular value. And then, in order to define the single function, let's define the single function uniquely, since you take one such situation, one of these, you say that the probability of measuring this projector on the state that you're talking about has to be the sum of the bigger function over the lines associated with the projector. So this is, it's similar to say that an integral over a strip instead of a fixed over this subject has to be a probability. So, one thing to notice that's very important is that I define this image function for this equation and not prove that this works, but this is how it will work. So, if I define the image function this way, I have many arbitrary choices made here. Between which neutron bias spaces with which situations and which lines with which projects in each neutron bias space. So actually this defines a classic case. It can make a number of different choices. Right? And then Wolters and Fabrizio, they discuss symmetry properties of the different definitions. But there's not a single definition which is more symmetric than all the others. So this generally defines a very large classic case. So this is just a worked out example of how to define. So I take these reactions, which are the lines, these reactions, and I want that the sum of these two elements here, in the function, these two points, has to be the probability of measuring sigma x at g+1. Because here I'm using the mutual bias basis, I can state to sigma x, sigma y, sigma z, for sigma z. Then at the same time, I demand that the sum of these two has to be the probability of sigma y, because and then the sum of the two elements of this other line has to be equal to the probability of measuring this project of the third neutron bias space. So when you write these equations, you can solve them, and you'll take the linear function. So there are two things to notice. One thing is that here you see there are probabilities of projects of the first leg, first thing you do. On the first leg, the second leg, and so on. So of course here, there are sum of three probabilities minus one. So sometimes, if this probability is small enough, this term will be negative. But the constraints are basically, in each MUV, they have to sum add up to one. So this is just a nice way of symmetric way of writing. But if you want to use a set of probabilities which are not constrained, then you can all do like this. Just if the view of two is equal to one minus p one. So So what's the linear function to get time for some states? This state, oh, this representation will, will appear more and more. So this is equivalent to the plus field. But there's an advantage to it. Here in plotting just three probabilities which are independent, let's say such a point of that, right? Which probability is projected for x, y, and z plus one x plus. So these three probabilities completely define the state, if you assume that state is there, right? The normalization. So you can, this point here, this red point, it's a point for which the probability of projected sigma z plus one x state is one. So that's an eigen state of sigma z. And of course, probabilities for y and x are gathered to x. And this is the representation of the given function. It's very simple in case of the dimensionalized space. It's just flat, and the line associated with that state. And zero as well. So this is another mistake. It's also, you see exactly which line was associated with that. But of course, yeah, that was the end of the middle. Oh, it's just a compressed version. It's placed. It's centered around half. It's centered around probabilities of half corresponds to the max place. And then, of course, when you can generalize this, this is an operational way of describing quantum states because we're talking about probabilities of all kinds of experiments. So I can look at polytopes in high dimension to describe high dimensional states of that. So in general, for these dimensions, it's like p squared minus 1 plus p squared. That's the independent probabilities. So this will be an affidian. So there will be something like this ball in this large dimensional space, which corresponds to the quantum space. But the geometry is highly confusing.
So we have kind of the surface still for
yes. So this one, yes. It's still the same, yeah, it has the same properties as the first one. This for the qubit, yes. So of course, for these two particular states, the linear function is not negative. But if you stray away from them, you can have the biggest function which is negative at some point. You see? Because this negativity here is not telling you anything about negative probability. Because probabilities are all sums of 2 points. The sum of 2 points have to identify probability. So the negativity is appear in order to make the sums be the right amount. So one thing you can do is sort of look at which states have negative field functions, or which states have positive. So for the definition that I proposed just before, these are the inequalities that are indicating in terms of positivity for the plot lines. And the step I'm given here is the set of states, or probabilities, right, which have positive in function. So for comparison, I'm giving you the quantum model. So some things appear here. One, there are some states which are not quantum. Do not realize for benefits of quantum systems, but which nevertheless have a linear function which is positive. For example, there's no state which gives plus one when you measure x, y, or z. Either of them. So this is this point here. But this could arise from a classical model. If you have three bits, for example, you can set the three of them to plus one. You can have a couple of them.
So what
is
the conditions so that the linear function needs to be? How do we know that?
Yes, because of the mutual unbiasedness condition, there's a condition which is quadratic on the probabilities. So it's like probabilities minus 1 over p squared, and that's the correct unbiasedness. And all of these add up to the fixed number, which depends on the dimension, the function dimension. So I don't have it here. But there is a geometrical picture in terms of the province which they have to apply. But actually, not all states in this sphere are quantum states, actually. So, these states there do not correspond to any quantum state, but all quantum states are in this kind of high-level
on this sphere or on the surface of the sphere? Yeah.
On this sphere, yes, but if you look at larger dimensions, I don't know how to describe the quantum states in this. I can give you a surface, all quantum states have pure states and that surface, but many points are non-quantum. Yes. So maybe
in the case of a one qubit, it's only the one mistake out.
So in the case of a qubit, yeah, all points is on the surface and inside on the surface of your states inside the list. Anything sticking out is not a quantum state.
You're claiming that this number should be that it's on that surface and that you're trying to create.
Yeah. So yeah, with the strength. So,
you're saying you get the residual, the log, you can see here by two factor sizes, the log, and the size of the series.
So the physical premium what you get. Okay, the physical, physical premium functions are anything inside the ball. The positive premium functions are inside the ball and inside the tip of the states outside of it, here in this corner here, there are no physical states, but they still have positive. Not necessarily, because it's not in any simple way, because the mutual nearby space themselves are mechanical. You can't pick it up to keep on mechanical. So these states which are called premium functions, well, we'll see a bit more, but we'll see that this is not a class of the set that only study, it's a subset of that. But the states inside that set can be highly entangled. So it's not entangled that we differentiate this class kinds of states from us. It's actually this class of
just the red area.
Yes, it is.
Single qubit in the red angle.
But even in higher dimensions, what I'm going to be looking at, classical states will be what it was with single description, efficient description. And with positive information. We'll see that these two things will be different. So, a simple description can involve high entangled states. So, instead of course, not all entangled states have most of them are.
Sorry, I just want to clarify the two discussions. So, if we lived in a purely classical world, then that tetrahedron would be the boundary of the space of states.
Yes.
And
so, if you want, this tetrahedron has four points. So, if you look at it from up, you see that you have the four possible values for x and y. But if you look at any direction, you have all four possible values.
So if we had a theory that wasn't classical or quantum, but in between, then the Rinker function would fill some other distribution between those two geometric figures.
Right? You could imagine theories which are the coincide, which have negative functions, for example. But the thing is, you know, this is a bit misleading. But it gives a taste of what appears in the limit function, because I told you that this is one particular definition. I associate the projection with lines, but I can do it in a different way. And if I do it in a different way, I got a different tetrahedron, which has positive limit functions. So what I did here, I just said, instead of associating sigma z to the first line in the third distribution, the sigma z to the first one, I associate sigma z to the line. So I just flipped to the last two lines in the last distribution. And then I get a linear function for different states. So you can have states which are a positive linear function here and a negative here. See? So this is not very satisfactory, right? I would like a notion of class cat. We didn't depend even on the different class linear function of parameters. So let me go. So we find that, the set of states which are negative linear function depends on the definition. So, how do you define some class cat notion which is independent of the function?
Can you show that pure states? That there's always a idea that pure states is a very function that is a kind of basis in which you would have.
Yes. You can always. Yes. Yes. Basically, you get the mutual invited space. Some of the mutual invited space is back to be that state. That's positive. Because I'm going to show that the only states which are positive in all the conditions are the mutual invited space for them. So if you just rotate the mutual invited space is enough, it's positive. So the idea is to use negativity of the limit function to define a set of states, actually non-negativity, to define a set of states which are positive. Because the positive will give you positive states, right? Which is based on the non-negativity of the limit function, independent of the definition, includes physical states, not excludes non-physical states, and which display classicality not just in this kind of, in the sense of quasi-probability distribution, but in some more computational related sense. My proposal for a set of states which can fit those four is a set of states which have positive limit function for all the different functions that use a single fixed mutual invited space. So if you have a look at qubits, you can see all the different definitions that you can pick.
opinion functions. And you see that either they have this set here as the positive set or this other one. So if you want to set the states which are positive for all the conditions, it's an intersection of the two that are hidden. That's not hidden. So these are the states which I would like to think are classical from the point of view of Gibbon functions. Now I would like to, because they have Gibbon functions which are positive in all the conditions. So there are other reasons why I call these states classical. Maybe you have come across this of some different methods.
Have you think that it's a reference
frame? I have. So I think the reference frame is given by the three commuting and bias cases. So that I keep fixed. So there is a classical reference frame that I keep fixed for all the definitions. That's the mutual and bias cases. Right? So I'm talking about all linear functions with a fixed reference frame, which is the mutual and bias cases. So you put one to the rotate two, like, then you would end up with a ball inside of. But for what I'm going to be doing, like computation, there will be a reference frame which consists of the computational basis, and actually stabilizer states and critical operations, which fix classical reference frame with respect to which you are discussing the quantum assistance.
So if you want to work into the variant, you just get a ball, obviously you get a ball inside and then it's not a sphere.
Yeah.
So sufficiently mixed and classical effect.
Yes. So you can define a bit a more general approach by rotating, considering local unit pairs on the neutral license. Why do I like to think about this set of things? First, let's just talk about fields. Just one field. So it turns out that states inside that of the neutral, see, there are only six pure states inside of the field, and then all the mixed states inside them. They are useless. They do not provide any potential. They don't provide universal computational model that is proposed by driving people. So I'll describe very briefly what this model is. Basically, you know, the T-Tabs is discussing topological continuity and anions. So he's imagining that in some physical system, it may be possible to build a quantum computer that does some operations for some physical reason. So, for example, you can take this set of operations, which you have a quantum computer that works just for those things. You can initialize the state in the computational base, which can be time state of Z operator. You can do unit pairs from the critical group, which includes C naught, Hadamard, and phase gate. Actually, the whole group is generated by these applied to any pair of qubits, C naught plus 25 qubits. And you can measure single qubit solves. So it turns out that these operations, if you have a computer that does this, you don't have much. Because Dan Boyson showed that, and Gail, they showed that you can keep track of the state of this computer using a Heisenberg representation, basically. Instead of describing the state at each point, you describe the operators which stabilize the state, which have that state defined. And this is an efficient. So this computer is fun, but it's not useful. Okay. But in that model, they imagine that there's another operation that will be saved.
Saying that this computer is not useful.
No, yeah, true.
This is only computer is
useful. Yes. Very true. But I'm not sure that this does classical computation. But it does do teleportation, it does do lots of quantum operations, just use case from this side. So these are very useful. We can do quantum encodings of states using this kind of operation. Quantum theory stuff like that. But then what if your only interest in life is to get a quantum computer that works? Then you need something else. And something else can be just the capacity of producing a single qubit Godzilla in a mixed state. So you prepare one, you can prepare as many as you want, but it's a perfect operation in the sense of you don't even prepare a pure state, you prepare some mixed state that you're about churning out. For you. So states, so what they showed is, if the state is inside the computer, it is a complex combination of stabilized states. And therefore, you don't need to conceal it, because you can't produce them using this operation. So they're useless, as useless as an initial computer for quantum computation. But if the states are outside of that computer, for many classes of states, a little off the faces, they produce a protocol that gets that sealant, gets a piece of a quantum computer, does some joint operations on them, and this helps for the unknown, starting on one field gate to the number field. So since you're using an oscillus and it's staying outside of the region, to implement gate outside of the field. So this is a trick that I'm using in some different schemes for quantum computation, to use quantum states as a resource to implement gates. And this is the kind of trick that we do. And the operations that you do on these oscillus are all completed. It has to be the concentration dependent. So this is nice because they even project that all states outside of the NIL, they come up with an explicit way of purifying these states using only stabilized operations into pure states and then using pure states for these, for some classes of states outside. And they think maybe for all states outside of the NIL. So these are the states for which states outside of the NIL and states outside of the NIL.
There's no state that you use now.
If you're producing state, you can measure Pauli's, and this is enough to be enough to know
the theory.
Yeah, you can have just a source, characterize a source, and maybe be lucky if you're outside of that region or not. So this is for one period. And of course, I would like to say something about more periods. So for that, it's nice to have this theorem that we proved, which is a way to characterize a set of states which are positive in functions and other functions. To say the only pure states which are positive in functions and other functions are the mutual life states. And the mixed states, which also which are their positive functions, let's say. There are no other states which are positive in functions and other functions. Because the definition I gave for the classical polytope was just this element of the linear function can be negative, this other can be negative, this other can be negative. So this is lots of half space properties. The limit of the polytope is for a vector space. So another description for this polytope for a vector space is giving the vertices. But that's what I'm giving it. I'm saying that the vertices are the mutual by spaces. So a state is inside this class of set of states. If not here, it is a transformation of the mutual invite space. So there are different ways of thinking about class hands of the states. It's complex here. But one way of interpreting it is, of course, if somebody's throwing quantum states at you, you're doing a tomography by measuring these mutual invites. For example, the qubit would be x, y, z. And then you find that the state is outside of the polytope a little bit here. Then you're finding that there is a little model, which is classical. You're imagining that the person, because you know that the person can't be there, can't be good, because it can actually be there sent to you, and you always get that result. They are pure states. And then you start imagining, okay, I know that this guy can't be there, x one state, z one eigenstate, x one eigenstate, and y. So imagine, maybe all the risk for the mechanics is combinations of this. In classical combination, because we're talking about the classical model, so the guy doesn't know about the propositions, right? He's assuming, I can only get states which are from this combination of these possibilities. So this is a little classical model, which any quantum state inside of the region satisfies. Right? This is the definition of the intermediate. It's a cross combination of these particular principles. But the thing is, sometimes somebody sends to you a state. You do the tomography of the state, and you find a state outside of the intermediate. Because there are only six pure states, for example, that are in there. And this state, to measure the probabilities, they find it's incompatible with the assumption that I have. That the only states in the universe are the states which this guy can be there, which are the mutual bias spaces, which are measured. So sometimes you get this probability which is incompatible, and you find it cannot be a transformation of those states which are not for my classical states. So there has to be other pure states out there that are not tracked in terms of this point as a transformation of the pure states. Right? So points outside which have some negative in the function point towards the existence of more pure states. Pure states is classical notion that all states have to be transformation of pure states. So negativity of the linear function, any negativity of the linear function is giving a phase of this polytope, and if you get the negativity is telling you that at this point is incompatible with this function. That's a, well, this maybe is a way of describing it, which is not so interesting. Well, it's like, well, I'm thinking about hidden variables to help defend. But you can describe the same thing in a more computational sense. And so another way of saying the same thing is, this is a fact, right? There is a classification by Lawrence, Brooklyn, Zeiger, Pinchboard, and Mutual and Bias Case. There is a one-to-one correspondence between Mutual and Bias Case reactions and eigenstates of all the operators. So if somebody gives you a Mutual and Bias Case set, you can always write that Case set as eigenstates, simultaneous eigenstates of different polyoperators. So I'm giving you here an example. I get all the polyoperators for two qubits. I partition them in this table, minus identity, right? And I want all states in each line to commute among themselves. So of course, since they commute among themselves, there are some eigenstates which are common to all of them. And there are four states which are common eigenstates to these three operators, four, least, four, least. Because the properties of the polys, they are mutual and biased. They form a basis for each subspace, if you like, and they are mutually biased with respect to each other in each line. So this is one way of defining the five MUVs for four two qubits, for four-dimensional system. Okay? So this means that the states inside which have positive in function, they are classical, but the system had in this description terms of satellite states. And this description is an efficient description, because you don't have to list this exponential number of operators in the case of many qubits. You just have to list a few n of them. You generate a group inside each line. And these three operators plus an entity, you form a group. So you can give, if you have this classical framework given to you, right, in terms of which is basically saying, to find a given function, you have to have a classical framework in terms of the magnitude, then the classical states can be described with an efficient description with respect to that framework. It just gives you which line you are, and gives you the eigenstates of the generator. So these classical states are efficient because they have a nice description, short description in terms of satellite states. Then, of course, since the set of states which are positive functions, this is a discrete set. You cannot do a unitary keeping inside the set and reach any unitary that you want. So it's not dense in the sense of all states that you would like to have for the universal quantum computation. So in that sense, it's not universal quantum computation, the states that you have inside the set. But the question of which operations keep you inside the set, all the critical operations keep you inside the set, but then maybe there are other operations that can keep you inside the set. So this I have to figure out. So here's some open problems. A group of operators which are generated by the Hadamard, the phase, which is like 1 for you, like 1, 0, I, 0, and the control knobs. So that's one way. But another way is the clinical operations take some lab, take a poly operator to call under contribution. So you have a model predictor for the applied clinical quantity, and then you'll obtain another model. So it does that for all of the institutions. So of course, one of our problems to try to bring these desires to the strict variables to the continuous case. That's for example, it wasn't so hard when you're dealing with continuous states. It might not be obvious that you can do the different assignments of projectors to lines in different ways. And this is essential for me to find the classical sets. So there's all possible ways of doing that. So of course, if you look at the cube, for example, take the discrete space, do some limits for the continuous, and consider all possible but you get some very ugly ones. So it might be not a good idea. But maybe you can get a set of states which are classical as computation states. So it would be interesting to apply this kind of idea and try to understand in a better sense, because people dealing with quantum optics, for example, have been pointing out, oh, this given function is quantum, see, it's negative. But it's not an operation, as operation as, for example, showing that you can get computational advantage. So it would be nice to get some result like this for continuous given function. Then, there's a question on track size unit pairs, which keep states aside set, right? Which keep the game function on like all locations. And of course, something that other people have been doing with other definitions of the game function, which is to visualize what you've done with it. I try to get some insights about this class of plant position using the given function. And so that's what it makes you look because you're dealing with a. Well, you can see, for example, from the chaos, you can see what the equivalent is between the plant systems and the class systems. So, well, this was the whole motivation for looking at quantum enhancing phase space, right, to start with, to try to compare quantum class. So this list of decisions. I characterized the seven states, which are kind of negative state in the function in other positions. I showed that the set is a common style of a set of stabilized states. Not all stabilized states, actually. So there are stabilized states, which are finite states of bounds, which are outside the set. And these states are classical metasets. First, they can describe the negative part of the distribution. Right? So this is an older idea of what ought to be the class. They have an efficient class description. I show that for a qubit, the states are precisely sort of useless for this model computation. And for visualization states, states outside of CP are needed to implement general quantum computation. But yeah, what should it does about the dynamics which keeps the status. So this is all for
one, as you said, if you want the range of functions to be positive for all which is basically the law. And there are these people that have been studying the type of class, both the mixed state that have no entanglement of functions to find that all class. And also people have been trying to understand how to entangle that state and trying to find some model.
Per se, if the state,
because they want to show it enlarged enough. I want to show if the state is in this ball, well then you can see it. And you know, fail so far. So my question, do you know what's the relation between your ball and their ball? And you know, it sounds like I have a question.
That sounds like a real question.
So the relation is not straightforward, because what I'm trying to say, the states inside the computer are compatible with that and that for one MD at a time, and promise combinations. Right? But the separable ball is similar, because I'm trying to give values to some projectors, like for Bell tests, we're trying to give some tests to those and see which ball is compatible with that. So there is a relation between the two, but I suspect this ball is not prohibited than the ball inside. It's probably more related to context travel. So the ball more related to context travel with couple pairs. Because there's no clear separation of the system in different subsystems. So but it's not a one-to-one response. So
your ball, I mean, if you take a state in the bottom, it means give me any mutually finite places, and I can write it as a convex combination.
Yes.
Right. So, is it possible? I guess it's always impossible to only mutually finite places with no entanglement. Is it
Basically, for a qubit, it's possible. But as soon as you go to two qubits, it's impossible. You can have two mutually, like, you can have two, but you can have a complete set.
So, prime numbers are supposed to have. There are no entanglement states of time.
Four?
Prime numbers.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Prime numbers is not a dynamic for sure.
Yeah, sure. Right. So you see, that's why I did discuss which is more like contextuality maybe, or it's something more general, like trying to assign that convention to some of them. Then with the notion of locality. But one thing that maybe I didn't mention enough was that when I was talking about using quantum computing, I was talking for the single qubit, I talked about mixed states. But for general dimension, I don't want to say anything about mixed states. Because they might be useful. But even though they might have an efficient description of each state at any point in the computation, but nevertheless the dynamics of it might be very complicated. So I have to be able to say something about both the description of the state at this point and the dynamics of the input. So it has to be simulated.
If you want to simulate a mixed state, you just pick one of the pure states at the beginning and simulate that.
Yeah. So there's terms of discussion for this, for cross spatial, and then again, so.
One of my questions was that they, on this direction, you focus on the state, but when we do a computation, this is a dynamic process. So really, you should ask the question, is the dynamic process as fast or not?
Exactly. So that's why, that's why I'm so interested in characterizing the unitaries which keep that state, which keep inside the state of classes.
Is there something like a signal function for unitaries, so a signal function for state?
It's
where something would be positive, which keeps positive probabilities going to positive probabilities.
Yeah, so in the context of quasi probability distributions, there's a speed distribution, and people have considered dynamics which keep distributions positive. So they are basically more displacements, rotations in this case. So people have discussed that in the context of quantum models, for example. But in the context of discrete linear functions, that would be more related to people working on tomography, process tomography, right? Or maybe, you know, more general maps and unitary maps also. So I'm not so sure, that whether there's kind of a single which is preferred representation of general dynamics, which you can kind of try to classify into polynomial and exponential complexity. So I'm not sure. This is a very interesting question that I'm interested in pursuing. Because the linear function motivates description of states. But dynamics empowers the fault for quantum computing as the states themselves. And of course, it's not even known for any amount, it's known very well whether it's using simulated maps.
Yeah, another comment about continuous version of the linear function is a theorem, I think, by Berry or Berry's and Sue, saying that the only positive pure state linear function are Gaussian states.
Okay.
So the current state and the screw state. All the other ones will actually get far from that point. So just for thing. Again, this is for single system. But this equation tells me that most of the states will actually get far.
Yes.
Only if we stay in Gaussian things, that will be more. And that seems to be related a little bit to your clever group.
Yeah. Yes.
Also keeping Gaussian things to Gaussian things.
Yes, so yeah, so the analogy would be this kind of Gaussian operations and Gaussian states with the mutually biased case of states and the Clifton operations. So they are both simple, you can keep track of the length is simple, it's fiction simple. So there's this analogy. But I still need to understand it better. It would be nice to be able to reobtain one of the definitions from the continuous with the discrete kind of problem. And see which steps or which kind of collapse has to do with the description. No,
Well, to Ramon, that's exactly the question. That's exactly what I wanted to ask. So I wanted to so you got it partly, but I was wondering whether you still break it inside a different framework, the something on the inherent structural or quantum measure theory. In other words, people are trying to understand quantum effects in terms of history or processes rather than in terms of space.
That looks like it's just the right thing for the question.
That's interesting.
Yes. Yeah, I have to look at that. There's a short remark concerning the discussion. Concerning unitary dynamics, first we can use this so-called Yanokovsky isomorphism between states and maps. So instead of analyzing unitary dynamics of one qubit, we consider states that are much higher in other states of two qubits, and then ask these, for example, your linear function. Then all unitary operations concerning one qubit, which could be depicted in your two qubit linear function. No, well, okay, because you end up between the subset of much higher random states. Because all unitary operations are mapped into maximum random states, so best states. But it's just good.
So what are the unitary which are not
well, my point of view there is the same. Okay, it's just that.
You think it's the definition of that? Probably.
Okay, so Now, the concrete question is, in your definition, we consider any of the valid states for two qubit systems, so maximum entangled states. So they are the same, they are the same, aren't they?
Yeah, they're class.
Okay.
They're class could be current as well. They can be class, it depends on the
need. It depends on the choice.
It depends on the choice. Okay. But the neutralized base is 10 plus 6 from the bell base is closed up. Yeah. So actually, in that table, the elliptical Pauli's, yeah. Some of those, which are they are not Pauli. The Pauli is fine. Dark and state are bell strips. So this is a question in which people, if you're concerned about locality, for example, cross entangled states are not class for this. But the question asks is simulability or not. And for this sense, you can get a simple set of states which are easy to describe, which include entangled states. That's what it does, because neutralized states are in general entangled. So it's two different notions of classicality. Rob?
So you mentioned at the very beginning that you can find sets of marginals that are consistent with the positive probability distribution. Were consistent with negative figures. So presumably there will also be sets of marginals that aren't consistent with negative function. But something else. So I can imagine a theory that was more general than quantum mechanics and describing whether this was marginals or not.
Yeah.
Do you have any sense of whether that kind of theory would have more complication with quantum mechanics?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Because it's interesting because when you go from class to quantum, there's the shell, the constant specific spectrum, on the number of parameters being described. So it may be possible that you just did, for example, so it's a complete set for quantum theory, simple things, or a more general theory, because you need more parameters to describe this non-quantum theory. So it might be, I'm not sure if there's a logical step or progression in the complexity of these. Because if you lose this population of axes, in fact, there is a natural way of jumping. Consistent with this axis, but this axis jumping from p squared, different pre-parameters and so on. So, not sure. That would be an interesting question. Because it relates to, it's more directly related to the experiments, right? Collaboration of the codes, how many methods you have to describe this data. So, I'm not sure. That's an interesting question. Maybe you can fix the flight here and then you
can take it. I'm trying to come. I'm from there's an analog and a history experiment of the same kind of analysis. David Meyer claimed there will be higher properties from the level 2 in terms of probability. For example, the quantum success of this kind of theory does in that.
All right, so let's send the speaker again.
Thank you.